So where are we going? Galatians chapter 2. Let's go to the New Testament book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians is in your New Testament. If you don't know exactly where that's at, if you find 1st and 2nd Corinthians, it's the next book after 2nd Corinthians. And Galatians chapter 2, a very, very, very important passage of Scripture here, starting at verse number 15. And it's kind of one of those passages that changed my life. Verse number 15. I'm going to read 15 through the remainder of that chapter. Verse number 21. Galatians chapter 2. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say to the people who are at the church of Galatia. He says this: "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If, while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Let's pray. Oh Lord, how many lives have this passage of Scripture changed in people's lives? Father, I pray that this Scripture continues to change lives, that people continue to be converted from the old creature to the new creation. Maybe somebody in here, Lord, I don't know. Maybe somebody that's listening to this on the internet, I don't know. Maybe somebody, Lord, that opens your word for the first time and reads this, that they will realize and understand that faith in Christ is what's necessary for salvation. So, Father, we trust you. I pray that the words and meditation of my mouth be holy and pleasing to you. But as always, Lord, you get the glory for a transformed life. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we're going to take a break from our study on the Ten Commandments and speak about a man named Martin Luther. This Tuesday, October the 31st, will mark the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther posting his 95 theses on the door at the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, marking the birth of the Protestant Reformation. And today, this morning, we're going to celebrate that. I want us to know a little bit more about this man and celebrate this historic event of 500 years ago. So here's a few facts about Martin Luther that I think are very interesting that we all need to know. Martin Luther was born on November the 10th, 1483, and he died February 18th, 1546, at the age of 62. He was a professor of theology. He was a music composer. He was a Catholic priest, and he was a Catholic monk. Martin Luther and I, as I was reading his life, found out that we had many things in common, but these two things me and Martin Luther had in common. One is this: we were both brought up in the Catholic religion. And the second thing we have in common is this: we both wanted to find the truth to the answer to this one simple question. What must I do to be right with God? That's a good question. Every human being needs to answer and ask themselves that question and get the right answer to that. What must I do to be right with God? Until I could find that answer, I knew that I would never, never truly be free, and I would forever be in bondage to my own sinful failures, because I knew who and what I was. So today, let's talk about these two issues from Martin Luther, from Martin Luther's point of view. Just before and immediately after Martin Luther became an Augustinian monk in the Catholic religion, Martin Luther was a very confused person. He was a tormented failure. He lived in constant spiritual pain. He was depressed. He was so depressed, so overwrought with guilt was he, that he lived with constant anxiety and fear. While he was in the monastery, he found that the road to salvation was very difficult and hard. In fact, it was so difficult and hard for him that he found out that it was hard for everyone else too. It wasn't just him. Luther was taught, like all monks were taught, that salvation is by grace, but you have to earn that grace. In other words, you have to reach a certain point of worthiness in the eyes of God. You have to accumulate a certain amount of merit, and if you are worthy enough, God will give you grace. So in order for Martin Luther to become worthy, he went to the very extremes to prove that to God. He gave himself over to every conceivable and every inconceivable discipline. He renounced all his self-will. He was told that if his food was meager, that was a way of worthiness that God and worthiness that God desired. And so with the rest of the monks, they ate a meager diet of just bread and water. He walked from Germany 800 miles to Rome and 800 miles back again. And when he got to Rome, he went there to ascend what they call the Scala Sancta, which means the holy steps. It was told to him that sinners could gain merit if they crawled up those steps, step by step, kneeled at every step, bowed down, and kissed every step, and progressed all the way to the top, and then back down again. Ways to merit favor in the eyes of God. After all this effort, these are two quotes from Martin Luther. The first one, number one, I tortured myself with praying, fasting, keeping vigils, and freezing. The cold was enough to kill me. I inflicted such pain as I would never inflict again. And a second quote from Martin Luther during this time. He says this, and I quote, I did not love, yes, I hated the righteous God who punishes sinners. And secretly, if not blasphemously, certainly murmuring greatly, I was angry with God. And I said, is it not enough that miserable sinners, eternally lost through original sin, are crushed by the law of the Ten Commandments without having God add pain to pain by the gospel, and also by the gospel threatening us with his righteous wrath? I raged against God with fierce and troubled conscience. Luther would open his Bible and read about a man named Job from the Old Testament. And this man, Job, asked this question in Job chapter 9, verse 2. How can a man be right with God? That was the preaching cry of the psalmist, the preaching cry of the prophets, the preaching of Job, the cry of Martin Luther, and the cry of an unsaved soul named Mike Owen. How can I escape guilt? How can I escape the wrath of death? How can I escape eternal punishment? How can I receive eternal life and receive heaven? How can I be right with God? Me and Martin Luther could never find those answers in the religion that we had in common. So let me sum up what's going on in the life of Martin Luther at this time. Martin Luther, this Catholic Augustinian monk, was doing everything his religion, his Catholic religion, was telling him to do. But yet he could not find God or in any way feel like he was ever right with God. His efforts to gain merit with God were only acts of total frustration. Since Martin Luther was a theologian, he was also a teacher. One day he was teaching from the book of Galatians. And it was at that time the convicting power of the Holy Spirit fell upon this man. We do not know exactly what chapter and verse that he may have been reading when the light came on. But for a brief moment here this morning, I like to try my best to jump into the shoes of Martin Luther and kind of see and feel what he may have been reading back then. If you still have your finger in the book of Galatians, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. This is one of those verses that you read that eventually the light comes on. And Galatians 3, 24 says this, and I'm going to read out of a New King James Version. It says this, therefore, and Luther was reading this, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You see, what Luther was saying, was thinking was this, I need to obey the law. I need to obey the law. I need to obey the law. And he was finding out the same thing I found out. You can't do it. You can't do it. And when he read this verse, he said, now I know why I can't do it. Because it was there as a tutor. It was there to lead me somewhere. It was there to bring me to Christ, that I might be justified by faith. Luther knew that it was the law that he was constantly breaking. And he knew that there was nothing in any of his good works that could ever bring forgiveness for those transgressions. So where does this hopeless and helpless feeling lead a person when you know, I can't do it anymore, Lord? It leads you right where God wants to lead you. It leads you to the one who can do it. It leads you to Jesus Christ. Christ can do what every human being is unable to do, and that is to forgive us and make us right with God and restore a relationship that has been broken by our sins. And we accept by faith his work on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. Let's couple that with Galatians 2:16. I can envision Luther going back to Galatians 2:16 and reading this. And the light's starting to come on. And it's, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even when we believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. And I could see that light coming on just a little bit more for Martin Luther, because all of his works that he was trying to do was going to get him absolutely nowhere, because it says, no flesh will be justified. The word justify means to be made right. Wasn't that the question that Martin Luther had been asking himself all this time? What must I do to be right with God? And what is the answer from the Word of God? We may be justified by faith in Christ. That's how we get right with God. By faith alone in Christ. Not by works, not by any works. By faith alone in Christ. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. We see people out there day after day after day trying and trying and trying to be good people and doing these wonderful things. Doing good things is a good thing to do. But in eternity, it gets you nowhere without Christ. When you start mixing faith in Christ with your own good works to achieve salvation, now listen up, congregation. When you start mixing faith in Christ with your good works to achieve, keyword, achieve salvation, to earn salvation, you have yourself a false gospel. And a false gospel cannot and will not ever save anybody. Turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I just envisioned Luther going to this spot. Galatians 1, 6 through 9 says this. Paul speaking to the church. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another gospel at all. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. He is to be anathema. He is to be eternally condemned. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. So what did Luther realize? The same thing I realized when the true gospel message was preached to me. He realized that the path of salvation that was taught by him, by his religion, was a false gospel and a false path to eternal salvation. Martin Luther read the truth from the Word of God, and his soul was set free. Let's move forward to the year 1517. Martin Luther, he's still a Catholic monk and a Catholic priest, never had any intentions whatsoever of starting any kind of new religion. He only wanted to bring reform to the existing one. He only wanted to bring reform to the Catholic Church and to Catholic teaching, which had strayed from the truth of the Word of God. So on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted what we call his 95 Theses on the door at the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. This thesis consisted of 95 issues taught by the Catholic Church that were contrary to what the Scriptures taught. At the top of this list was this issue of something called indulgences, a process by which a person could buy their time off of purgatory and have quicker access to heaven, and if they had enough money, they buy their way directly into heaven. Indulgences. Did you know, just an aside, did you know that indulgences are still alive and well today in the Catholic Church? One way to gain indulgences in the Catholic Church is if you follow Pope Francis on Twitter. And I have the article from the Vatican saying that this is so. You better get a computer and a Twitter account. Let's get back to Luther. Don't get me started. Within a few weeks, Martin Luther's theses had spread throughout Germany, becoming widely known. During the years 1519 and 1520, Martin Luther continued his crusading attack on the church, developing his thoughts and printing pamphlets on what constituted true Christianity. Well, the significance of these written challenges eventually caused the church to respond. So on June the 15th, 1520, almost 3 years later, Pope Leo X issued a formal rebuttal to Luther's 95 Theses. However, by that time, the criticisms of Martin Luther had already been widely distributed and found a very receptive and captive audience. With the help of this newly invented machine called the printing press, the Reformation movement gained in strength and gained in popularity. The Catholic Church would never maintain the same unchallenged authority in Europe ever again. Across Europe, Luther's challenge to the authority of the church led to a new religious thinking and a desire to break away from the old established church, creating a Christianity which returned to the purity of the Bible and diminishing the role of the Pope and priest and tradition. In 1520, as could be expected, Martin Luther was excommunicated from the Catholic Church for refusing to recant 41 sentences from his 95 theses. Luther said this, and I quote, when he was told to recant. Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they may have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against my conscience. May God help me. Amen. End quote. The Protestant Reformation may have changed the way people see the gospel, but the Protestant Reformation never defined the gospel, so to speak. You see, the gospel had already been defined. It had been defined in the book of Galatians. The gospel had already been defined in the book of Romans. The gospel had already been defined in the book of Ephesians. The gospel had already been defined in the New Testament. And the early church knew this. We're talking about the 100s, 200s, 300s. And they knew this. And for centuries, the gospel was kept pure and correct. But mankind has a really big problem, because mankind always wants to interject himself into these issues in some way. So over those dark centuries, the gospel became a mixture of what Christ had done with what man must contribute. The cry during those dark ages was this: God cannot do this alone. Christ cannot do this alone. He needs my help and my contribution. To have salvation was the cry in those days. I must do this and I must do that. And if I perform these tasks well enough, just perhaps I will tip the scale in the good direction, and God will be pleased with me, and I will earn his forgiveness. This is what the established religion at that time became. And let me remind each and every one of us, it has not changed since then. But back in the 1500s, a Catholic priest and monk named Martin Luther, who was following his religion to a letter, a man who so desperately wanted to skip the scales in the good direction, with all his works and with all his merits and all his pilgrimages and fasts and self-denials, he did all this so God would be pleased with him, a man who just wanted to be right with God. He found the truth. He found it right here in the Word of God. And that truth set him free. His story is my story. Only I did not start a new religion. But I know that today, I know that I am right with God, because I have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and not by anything that I could possibly contribute. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said this: "It is finished." And Mike has been set free. What a liberating moment in time for me that was, when I realized I can't do it, but God has done it all through Christ. I was free. The shackles were taken off. The burden was removed. I was a new creation in Christ. What about you? Here's some more truth, my friends. If you believe for one second, listen, that there is something you must do to contribute to your salvation, then you are believing a false gospel. And the book of Galatians and the Word of God says this: that it is a false gospel, and such people are anathema. They are eternally condemned. So my friends, I say this, I plead to each and every one of you, and I plead to anybody who might listen to this on the internet, please don't go there. I want you to have the peace and joy that I have.
A peace and joy that can only be found in believing the true gospel message. The one that says that Jesus Christ did it all and it's finished. And all you have to do is trust what he did on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and rose from the grave to pave the way for you and I to have eternal life. I hope at some point in your life you ask yourself this question, what must I do to be right with God? Because if you have, this morning, you got the answer. And I really hope you heard it. Martin Luther found that truth. And because of his searching and conviction, many, many others after him have found that truth too. And one of those people is me. And I pray that every soul in this sanctuary has found that same truth too. Because I know this. Because when you hear the truth will set you free. Let's go to God in prayer.